Shall we pray? Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for everyone here. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation made available in our midst. The eyes of our understanding is enlightened to know what is the hope of our calling. And Lord, as a church, we pray that we come truly to the understanding of God wanting us all flowing together as a strategy for much more. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, John chapter 17, verse 21 to 23. Don't sleep. John chapter 17, verse 21 to 23. And this is Jesus's heart cry. Will I call it Jesus's desire? And if it's Jesus's desire, we must pay attention to this desire. In fact, he is walking with his disciples. And he expresses something key. You know, it's like that home that is ripped apart by a lot of confusion. But then, I remember so well when my grandfather was about passing. I was not there, but I was told that one of the things that he said before he left was he pleaded that the family should never be apart. And that's quite strong to say. So I'm told he looks at my mom, looks at everyone around, and he tells them that they should please be together. And when I heard that, I was deeply moved. I was deeply touched. Right? So, it paints to us a very real picture that every father wants his family in order. You know, wants his family in order. That's why if you have a lot of children and you are old, it's good to make things more clear who the house belongs to and who the filling station belongs to and who the cement business belongs to, so that there is not distortions after you're going. I mean, not you, but in that case. So what happens is that Jesus, using these scenarios, is expressing a hearty desire in John chapter 17, verses 21. He said, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So it's quite an interesting heart cry. Is a heart cry that there is oneness, there's an altogetherness. That we may be all together doing God's plan and fulfilling His will in the earth. But the church has to be taught this. If we are going to have God's heart desire met, is that we do not see what He has given to us from a standpoint where it's very individual. But then we all together. So what that means is that the church becoming all together one is the will of God for the church, or is the will of God for her. Not we having differences. No. It's the heart of God that His church flows together in oneness. The moment this is not found, we are not going to have the church function in the best way that she should. And that's why it's called a body. All bodies function together. Imagine your head walking down and walking off. So imagine if your head falls off, refuses to stay on your body, and then your eyes are saying, no, I'm changing my mind. I'm going to have it my own way. Then your ears say that I'm traveling to Sogakope for 4 days and I'll be back on the 5th day. Similarly, the Lord wants His body functioning all together. Listen to me. It is the will of God to have it so. It's not just something that you say, you all must be. No, it is the will of God to have an all pattern. And we're going to be seeing that shortly. I'm just going to take you through quickly, you know, using the early church, which is, you know, the church born in its new state, right? The will of God is to see His church functioning all together. Everyone working the way they should. Everyone involved. Having their hands to the plow. So I'd like you to take it from a standpoint where you say, I am going to play a part in seeing God's church function all together. Can you do that? You're going to play a part in seeing God's church function all together. You'll find them in the early Acts of the Apostles, in Theophilus' accounts, and you find the church strongly together. And today, God wants to see His church functioning in the same way. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. We're going to go through it quickly. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Are you going to do the word of God? Okay. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Okay, can we hold on with the comments so that the scriptures can stay? So, we find out that in Acts chapter 1, or in the early church's birth, I'm talking about, of course, after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, you know, the church is born beautifully. And you see it operating powerfully. You don't have it. I mean, every act today of any apostle or prophet or pastor could be seen in the Acts of the Apostles, which is in the early church. Are you talking about the power of God? We saw it in the early church. The gifts of the Spirit, we see it in the early church. Love in the early church. Strength, unity in the early church. I'm not saying it's not in the church today, but I'm just saying that that's a good example to look at. Togetherness in the early church. Prayer, fasting, we see it there very clearly. And that's why this church was able to see the significance that she saw. Because they had a strategy already playing, of course, influenced by God's Spirit. And so much more was something they could get. Imagine on your first preaching engagement, 3,000 people are saved. The next time you preach, 5,000 people are saved. The next time you preach, there's a multitude we can't even take note of. That's some good example. So in Acts chapter 1, verses 14, you find out that, can we hold on with the comments, please? You find out that Theophilus is giving an account. I mean, Luke is giving an account. And we see that they all, the emphasis is on all, continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. They all, you know, sometimes we want to have our way. We want to have it done the way we want to have it done. But no, when it comes to the church of Jesus Christ, and when we come to how the church functions by being together in awe. In awe. The church functions by being together in awe. And I'm going to show that to you. That's God's plan for his church. So you see that they are continuing in one accord in prayers and supplications. It means when everybody's praying, everybody prays. That's the plan of God. He gets excited when he sees his body together. In fact, that's why, you know, right there in the law, he sees a group of people gathering together, hoping to build a tower, which is actually the Tower of Babel. But he didn't like their all togetherness. Of course, because it was not his plan. It was not his way. So he's looking at something and saying that, how can these people be doing something all together, but then it's not my way? So he causes a confusion amongst their midst. So it is the plan of God to have his church functioning together in awe. We see our first prayers and supplications. The church prayed together. So, while in fact it might be in the traditional mind of a church person that pastor is supposed to pray for the church, the one who is well taught by God, and of course taught by his word, sees that responsibility as all of us. All of us are supposed to pray. In fact, you find out that there was corporate prayer that was made when Peter was in prison. The church gathered together and then they began to pray. When she fell into a persecution or a trial in Acts 4:24, you see that during that crisis and that persecution, she stays together praying out the plan of God. See, what we can accomplish together, one person cannot and will not be able to accomplish. There's a release of power and glory that fills up a space when the church understands this, that we all together. And that's why when we get into prayer, and you probably are not, I mean, not you, but somebody else who is new is not getting in, you siphon, you cut the flow of what God is doing, because you contribute corporately to what happens in a space. So the church in Acts 1:14 are known, or is known to be a church that prays, supplicates. Everyone. So I want you to begin to become very intentional about having you understand the mind of all. And don't forget what I showed you in John 17, that we all together may be one. Acts 1:21. In Acts 1:21, because writer Luke is telling us how that in the choosing of the disciples after Judas's demise, a criteria for choosing was that you had to be there all the time with Jesus. So if you were going to meet the criteria of an apostle, joining in on the apostles of the Lamb, the 12 of them, because they became 11. And so you had to be there all the time. It means that the disciples placed premium on meetings. If you did not meet, if you were not present, not present sometimes and present or absent sometimes. No. Those that accompanied with us all the time that Jesus went in and amongst us. So we're going to place premium on meetings. So while in fact, you know, might be saying, oh, that meeting is really not my meeting. This meeting is not my meeting. That meeting could be my meeting, but I don't think I want to be in that meeting. The early church is considering meetings as vital. So, we see that, number one, the church is together, all in prayer and supplication. Number two, they are all together in meetings. Now, on prayer and supplication, I'm just giving, the intent is to cause us to see. Then probably sometime we can go into much depth. So, meetings were seen as important. Some meetings, no. All meetings. All meetings. All meetings. Not some meetings, all meetings. Not the meetings I choose, all meetings. See Acts chapter 2 verse 1. Acts chapter 2 verse 1. All meetings. We all are praying. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. All. Mary wouldn't say, oh no, I think the spirit is leading me somewhere. No. They were all in one accord, in one place. All of them, not some of them, all of them. All of them. All of them. So when you find people say that, you know, I don't really want the way this thing, they do it together. I don't want, no. That's God's prescribed pattern for his church, is that he wants everyone flowing together. All. All. Not some. All. You know, sometimes you can be in a place and some way, somehow, you know, it's like somebody just wants to be different. Right? It's like somebody just wants to be different. You can be different, you know, in, you know, other natural things. Right? But when it comes to how God wants to function, right, with his church, he wants everybody flowing in the same spirit. Not some of us. No, all of us. See Acts 2:17. So, with receiving the Holy Spirit, they again were all together in one accord. Look at verse 2-4. Sorry, verse 2-4 before we get to verse 17. Acts 2, verse 2-4. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house. So you see, God's infilling in itself was not some. He intends to fill all. Of course, seeing how Joel prophesies that all sons and daughters will be filled. All, not some. All who have believed are going to have the infilling of the Holy Ghost. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 2-4, the infilling of God's Spirit was to have all. It filled all the house. You know, sometimes we can be in church and God's Spirit is much upon an individual than another. That's not God's plan. For example, the Spirit of God will be seen upon maybe when we are flowing in the things of the Spirit, maybe prophesying. And then you see somebody flowing. But then you look at another person and the person is not interested. Not because God does not want to fill all, but it's because probably that individual is not in terms with God in all that he's doing. For example, we're rejoicing. That's God's Spirit upon. It's visibly seen. Maybe singing in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. He wants to fill the whole house. He wants to fill all the house, not some houses or vessels. No, he wants to fill all. That was the plan of God, is to have everyone having an experience of him. And that still remains his plan today. So he's there and he fills all the house. Now look at what happens. Verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it touched upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Can we see that? They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. All of them. Not some of them. So even his infilling is something that happens to all. What a blessing. If we're going to see God's move, if we're going to see his power, if we're going to see his glory, his grace, we must take this seriously as a church. All. You know, sometimes when you're coming to church, you have things that are worrying you. No, you must leave them behind. Because there's something that God wants to do with all of his people. All of his people. Not some of his people. See Acts 2:17 now. Now this is Peter preaching. Then he now says that it shall come to pass in the last day, says the Lord, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall all prophesy. Your young men shall all see visions. Your old men shall all dream dreams. What a blessing. So we see the church praying together, all. If they are praying fervently, they are praying fervently, they are together. We see that. We see, you know, they together all waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Then we see them all receiving the Holy Spirit. See Acts 2:32. That we may be one. That we may be one. One. All together. In Acts 2:32 again, we're getting to see witnesses. And he doesn't say, some of us are witnesses. No. We all together are witnesses. It means we all saw. We all are going to preach. We all saw. We all are going to preach. Not that some saw. No. We all saw. We all are going to preach. We all saw, we all are going to preach. We all are going to be enthused about evangelism. We all are going to be enthused about discipleship. We all are going to be given to what God wants to do. It's an all thing. It's God's plan for his church together. All. Acts 2:44. Acts 2:44. Not that, hey, these people, huh, all these people, they are some way. Oh, if you follow them, they want you to do all things the same. No, that's what the church is. See, that's what the church is. It's not we who are like that. That's what the church is. It's not we. You know, sometimes people don't understand why we do certain things or why certain things are done. So you see them sometimes criticize, right? Oh, they are like this. That's how it is. That's how God wants his church functioning. If we all are fervent, we all are fervent, we all are praying, we all are praying, we all are worshiping, we all are worshiping. Everything is the same for everyone. So don't allow anybody to say that. At least when you belong to a church, you have to feel, you have to have your own difference in the indifferences. Okay, please, have I been heard all this while? Because I've been talking. I'm not sure if you...
Yes, please, Pastor.
Pastor, please, you can hear you, please.
So, it's not like, I want to be different. I want to have my own uniqueness. That thing is not of God. Do you understand? That uniqueness is not of God. Because, you see, from the very onset, Jesus is very clear about his relationships with the Pharisees and other people in top spaces. Right? So you find out that Peter is avoiding them because he does not want to fall out. James, Bartholomew, Andrew, they are all avoiding James, John. But then you find out that there's somebody who just wants to be different. Right? There's somebody who just wants to be different. Now you, right, that wants to be different is how you terminate God's plan for all. See, what I'm telling you is so crucial and it's so important. If we're going to see the move of God's Spirit in these days, we have to be strong on this. So you find out that Judas is that guy who just feels like, no, it doesn't have to be so. Must it be so? Should it be so? I mean, are we supposed to be considering something like this? Everybody should have his way. Now that everybody should have his way, I'm telling you that many of the times it's inspired by a spirit that causes rebellion. Many of the times, if not all of the times, that desire to suddenly want to be different from what is happening, it's a spirit that causes that. Is a spirit that causes that. So you suddenly find yourself. See, don't argue. When I'm teaching you, don't argue. Don't say that. No, it's not. It doesn't have to necessarily be so. I'm telling you something because you see, Judas actually he starts very logically. He starts logically. He starts it. It's almost like, you know, starting point. He's actually a thief, first off. We all know that because John makes us understand that he stole. But then you find out that a woman walks in. She's brokenhearted. Then she comes to pour out some ointment on the feet of Jesus. Then now wipes the feet of Jesus with her own hair. Then while every one of them is broken by that experience. Because remember, Peter is not going to talk about it. James is not talking about it. John wouldn't talk about it. But then he suddenly begins to be logical about the whole situation. Like, what is going on here? You see, he starts to think differently. Now, that thought there is what sets the motion for rebellion. And that's what I'm saying. Don't argue with what I'm teaching you. Don't say that, oh no, it's not really like that. I mean, I'm telling you that. That art of not wanting to become all is the reason, or is that instant, that crack opening that the devil selects you to not be part of what God is doing. So Judas is there, and then he questions, is it not too expensive? Why should all of these expensive things be used in some of these things? What is so special? I mean, yeah, we've seen miracles, but he's also just like us. we saw all of those wonderful miracles, but I mean, let's be serious. He's also a man, also like that. You see, so when you start to think this way, you start to think differently, because that's how it starts. That's how it starts. So while we all together, there is one that takes a step back. That taking a step back begins the process of terminating you out of what God is doing. Now, there are sometimes you can be left out of what God is doing, but you are still actually part of a church. It's very possible. You can be left out. While everybody flows in a certain way, acts in a certain way, responds in a certain way, flows in a certain manner, right? But you choose to be different. That choosing to be different there is not being part. So altogether, so guess what happens? He sets that in motion. He questions the alabaster box, questions the ointment, questions its extravagance. What is so special? Then we see exactly who falls in for it. And of course, we know that Judas had a bad heart. Now, Peter also missed it. But Peter, he's missing it, was from a good heart. There's a way a good heart can miss it. Then there's a way a bad heart misses it. The two are not the same. As a pastor, I learned to discern that is a bad heart then that is a good heart. They both will miss it. But you must be able to know that one is not a good heart. That one is a bad heart. So you see that Judas had a bad heart. But Peter also missed it. But you wouldn't find Peter sell out his master for pieces of silver, 30 pieces of silver. You wouldn't find that. His bad heart is that he doesn't want his master to die. His bad heart is that he's saying, master, will follow you. But when situations come up, I mean, he's a man. He's a man. So he sometimes even the fear of seeing that you are being caught alone by soldiers. So he disappears. It's quite humanly. But then a bad heart will begin to, you know, there's a subtle means of, you know, having things not done in a certain way. So, all or I don't want to veer off my teaching. I'm sticking to all. Because me, I think I've received impartation for loyalty and disloyalty. All. See, Christ family, we're going to be better together, all. See, we're going to be better together, all. We are praying, we are all praying. We're gathered, we are all gathered. We are jolly, happy people, loving, joyful people. We are all the way. The same. It is the plan of God. You shouldn't miss Sunday. This Sunday, what I'm going to teach you. Bless you. So, you see that? Oh, can we just put ourselves aside and look at what God is doing? Many times that's the problem. We're so particular about ourselves. No, let's put ourselves aside. What is God doing? What is He doing? What is He doing? What is He building? What is He doing? What is He building? Then we're going to see the essence. So all. We are all. You know why? You know why? You know why? Because we all have His Spirit. See, anybody that tells you that the church cannot function, the church cannot function altogether, like we are functioning at the same, you know, everybody's flowing, is not telling the truth. The same Spirit that lives in your brother, lives in you, lives in her, lives in him, lives in everybody. That same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, that same Spirit, it stays in everybody, or he stays in everyone. Now, if He stays in everybody, His activities and His workings is the same in everyone. Of course, there are going to be diversities of gifts and its manifestations, but primarily His function is the same. is the same. It's not different. So we all together have God's Spirit. All of us. The same joy is the same joy. The same flow is the same flow. The same activity of evangelism is the same activity of evangelism. The same spirit of reverence and worship should be the same, except that now you probably may not be found functioning in that manner. You are the one that does not function in that manner. Together as a church, we all can have the same burden. We all together can work as a church, everyone, because we all have His Spirit. We all have the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm saying, that don't be too focused on you, right? Be focused on what He's doing on the inside of you. So if we all have the Holy Ghost, then it means we all can function the same. We all can think alike because we will be taught alike. That they may be one. And of course, Acts 2:42, you find them continuing all steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Yeah. In Acts 2:44, they were together. When you see me as a pastor teaching you, stay together. Love yourselves together. Have all things in common together. Flow together. It's not me. Okay? It's not me. It's not... You see, I told you that everything that we are building is something that God intends to build. He has a plan. Right? Then He has the plan. Then He gives it to me, Pascal. Then He now says, Pascal, build what I intend to build according to the plan. What is not in the plan, don't allow it. Don't build it. Don't add it. That's why even, you know, I mean, we started cell systems. I started also teaching you about God's pattern. And I showed you that it's not about what works. And it's not about... Sometimes I pray that you come to the understanding of these things. And of course, I believe you are coming to it. Where you are not so much bothered about something that somebody else has or is doing. Something that you feel comfortable doing. It's not about you feeling comfortable or you feeling... No, it's about what He wants to do. What He's building. So He's building something. He hands to me a pattern. He says, Pascal, build me a church where everyone is flowing all together. All together in prayer. All together in the Holy Ghost. All together in fellowship. That's my work. So I'm supposed to now say, okay, Lord, then I'm supposed to be teaching them to flow together as a church. So it's not almost like I'm a pastor and I've seen someone's ministry and I want to have a ministry like that. That's crazy. I wouldn't have a ministry like this if I were left to myself. No. I wouldn't have a ministry like this. I wouldn't have even been serious about the teaching ministry. I wouldn't have. In all honesty, I wouldn't have. I sat down before my Bible one day, read Luke 24, saw how that Jesus taught from the law, from the prophets. He taught from Psalms. Then he wielded all of those through his experience. And I've always been saying that I want to be more like you. Jesus, I want to be more like you. I want to be more like you, Jesus. Want to be a vessel you work through. Oh, I want to be more like you. Then I now saw, I took time to study it. Going through the ministry of Jesus, I saw that he taught than he did anything. So I look into my life. Where's your teaching ministry? Where's that element that looks like Jesus? Oh, it's not there. How are you going to be more like him? There are certain subjects I never wanted to teach them from Genesis or from the law or from the Psalms or from the prophet. I saw him do the same thing after his resurrection. He gathered people, taught them from the beginning to the end. I'm like, okay, then that means he expects this. How about you? So it's not just me sitting there and saying that. Maybe I would have been an itinerary prophet. That is far easier. I've been with you all of these years. Some of you have been with you 8 years. Some of you 10 years. Some of you 7 years. Some of you 6 years. And don't be deceived that I never had an opportunity. No. If I had not had, I had two opportunities to pastor two different churches in two different branches of other churches, just come and say yes, we'll give you a church to pastor. Oh yeah. But is that what he wants? Is that what he wants? So it's not so much about me seeing something and wanting it to be like that. No, that's what God is doing. Eh? That's what he's doing. It's not so much about what you want. If I had, I would just be prophesying only, just come and stand there and prophesy. That's easier. You just pray and come outside and prophesy. You don't need to study. You don't need to learn. You don't need to do anything. You should come to my room and see the books that are there. And how I give myself to study. So it's not all about what you want. It's not all about what you want. So I'm trying to tell you that when you belong to a church, it's not also all about what you want. You see that? It's not all about how you feel. No, it's far from that. It's about what he wants. Can we put ourselves aside as a church? I'm talking to everybody. Huh? We come to church, then the weather started 20 minutes, you are already sleeping. How do you contribute to all with your sleep? Huh? You're already sleeping. Can we just see what God is building and be a part of it? I see you becoming something that God intends his church to become. And you're becoming a great contributor to what he is building. In anything. Yeah. Or we gather and he moves mightily, you're going to be there. That's all that your life will count for. I'm telling you, when you stand before him, you will know what I'm telling you, what I'm saying is true or not. It's all your life will count for. Every other thing is not so much important. Every other thing is not so much important. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. So, fellowship. They will all believe together. So when you see me say, you people should stay together. Don't fight. Flow together. Huh? It's not me. It's not I. Left to me, I'll open a room for you and you fight all the fights you want to fight. I'll be in the next room. Just be fighting. Just be fighting. When you wake up and you're angry, fight. You can ask me, my mom, when I see my two kid brothers fight, as if I'm not even there. When you have eaten, and normally it's when they finish eating that they like fighting. If you are not satisfied, you won't fight. Just fight. Feel free and fight. Just feel free and fight. Children, when you want to see their character, it's when they finish eating. It's either they become exceedingly happy or there's a lot of trouble. But there's something that God is doing. So when we say fellowship, stay in fellowship, it's not just my wanting you to. It's something that God is doing. That's how he wants his church built. So in Acts 2, verse 44, when I say married together, say that he wants to enlarge in the church. You are a big fool. Huh? Say that you shouldn't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You didn't see it. He says, mark and avoid them that cause divisions amongst you. That's doctrine. So if I tell you to say that, flow amongst yourselves. Huh? You see, that's God. But you will not see it like that. Is that? No, he's trying to. That's God. It's spelled G-O-D. Spelled G-O-D. That's what he wants. That's how he wants it functioning. Huh? Paul, in his writing to the church in Corinth, tells them to avoid people or brethren that are covetous and fornicators. That's what God is doing. He says, do not eat with him. Fellowship is God's plan for his church. That's God's will. He wants to sit and see his people flowing together. So you see that the early church is doing this. See Acts 4:32. They were united. They had a shared life together. What were they doing? They broke bread, had communion, shared meals. In the sharing of meals, you can call it. That's God. See, you are for God. You are for God. And you have to trust that this life he gave you, you're going to live it for his purpose and his plan. Sometimes we only see his purpose and his plan as he says he wants me to be a doctor. He wants me to be a lawyer. He wants me to, no, sometimes his purpose and his plan is you just playing the role that he wants you to play in his church. Sometimes it's as simple as that. Don't do anything else. The way he wants you to play that role is the same way. It's just live for his plan.
of seeing what he wants to see happen in his church. Be part of it. Be part of it. Yeah. So you are part of it. And me, I want to live for his plan. I've been telling him that, Lord, wherever you can put me, whatever you can use me for, just use me for your what you are doing. I just want to be part. Just find somewhere for me. You know? And so he told me some time ago, he said, you are key in what I'm doing. What a blessing. Yeah, he told me, you are key in what I'm doing. So I'm a key man in the plan of God. I say this by faith. Yes. I'm key in his plan by the grace of God. You can also say that too. You can also say that you are key. And that will help you see that you cannot live your life like anybody. You cannot stay in the church and not do the things that we are told to do. You cannot be part of what God is doing in the way you should because you are key. Yeah, you're key. You're key in his plan. So you find them having fellowship. Find them having fellowship. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, verse 44 to 45, they are seen doing something very important. They believed together. Listen to what they did. They had all things in common. They had all things in common. They believed alike. They had doctrinal persuasions alike. They ate together. They fellowshiped together. Remember, all I'm communicating with you is hinged on Jesus' desire that we all will be one. It's his desire. Let's have it happen. That's what he wills. So in Acts 2:45, they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Look at what happens. Look at what happens. Next verse, keep going. Okay, can you please pause liking the show? After this, then you can like. Now, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church. So you see, God is adding to the church. Right? Next verse, quickly. Our time is almost up. We are closing. So they are together. So they all bring their things together. See, you know, somebody asked me some time ago, a few days back, and the person was saying that, Pastor, my parents called me and my parents asked me that. So if your pastor says, go and sell your house, will you sell your house? So she was now asking me. I said, well, there are many wrong reasons why people are told to go and sell whatever it is they have. But if it's done with a good motive, it's very right. Because we see that in Acts of the Apostles. Because they believed in common. That was the plan of God. They believed in common. That was the plan of God. They had all things alike. Yeah? They believed alike. They had all things alike. Such that they didn't even need to be told. They went to sell it and they brought it and they put it at the apostles' feet. Now, Ananias and Sapphira, who happened to be, you see, wiser. Can I be heard, please?
Yes,
so Ananias and Sapphira, who happened to be wiser, you see, you think logically, why should all of this money be given and put at the apostles' feet? Now, put it at the apostles' feet means that it was submitted to their care. Then they will distribute it according, of course, to the needs of the people. So they sold their land, some sold their property, then they put it at the feet. Then the apostle now says, okay, use the money for this. use the money for that. Okay, let's use the money for this. But Ananias and Sapphira are logical thinkers. You know what's happening? They are thinking logically. Why must we rejoice? Why must we be together in fellowship? Why must we pray? Why must we? That's the logical thinking. Why must we give? Why? Why must we work together? Oh, everybody can believe what they want to believe. Me, I don't really believe in this a lot of doctrine. That's the thing. You always think logically when you are about to walk out of the plan of God. It becomes very logical to process. So you dump in what God is doing and you go in for something that looks reasonable. And many times I told you, self is strong. Self, I am this, I am that. I want to be this, I want to be that. I feel this, you know, I've taught some people before, and then after I finished showing them scriptures, of course the scriptures, take them to the Old Testament, try to explain it, then do not answer. But you know, the Bible says this, but I really don't think it's supposed to be so. That's the same. You are Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira. While everybody's excited, selling off lands and giving, you now say that, nowadays, these pastors, you give them your money, they go to spend the money, they be using it to build houses, No, that's not God's plan. That's not God's plan. That's not God's will. So guess what? They sell it off. Then they keep a portion back to themselves. They give a thankful treatment. It's thankful in a certain way. But behind that, say, hey, in the heart, oh, let's keep the portion to ourselves. It's not really anything. Now, guess what happens? Their death. Of course, their death will signify that they never had anything to do in God's plan. Do you know that Ananias and Sapphira could be could be Priscilla and Aquila? Because normally, when you see someone exit the scene, another comes to take his place. Yes, another comes to take his place. I believe that this Priscilla and Aquila, we heard Paul teaching. It should have probably been Ananias and Sapphira. Before you realize. So what happens? They are taken out of the plan of God. Somebody comes in right with a replacement. Is that not how God may be calling us, or God has called us to do something great? It will not happen. Let me not even use that scenario, because it will not happen. But then you find people walking out of it, choosing their own way, thinking logically about it. Then God says, no, these people are not ready. Let me find someone else. Let me find a different kind of people who can do the work I want them to do. May this not be our story as a church. So Ananias and Sapphira, they get themselves out. In meetings, you can get yourself out of what God is doing. Sometimes the Holy Ghost is moving in a certain way, but you are not in there. I want you to begin to say, no, not what I will, but the plan of God. In every way I find myself, I'm going to be an agent that, you know, fosters the will of God. Are you listening? I'm going to be an agent that fosters the will of God. Pastor says we are praying, we're praying. Pastor says we're hitting a target of this. Hey, people, we're going for it. The instruction has already been given. That's you playing out the plan of God. Because remember, it comes together to form a greater picture of a greater fulfillment of his greater plan in the earth. So we're winning this number of souls. We're going for it. Going for SHS schools. We're going for it. That's how your life can be truly meaningful in his plan on the earth. You are not going to miss out on what God is doing.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Like I was saying, I just sense a spirit of revelation in this house. And God is going to be equipping you. I didn't prepare to teach you this. I just wrote a few scriptures. Just a few scriptures to come and teach you. But God is prophesying. If I believe I'm in the ministry of a prophet right now, and I'm trying to teach you how you can fulfill what God wants you to fulfill. Right? So we're going to be intentional about it. So you see that the early church giving resources, and together they witness and proclaim the gospel of Jesus. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Verse 31 to 33. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness, so they are all bold, full of boldness in the preaching and in the teaching of his word. So I'm going to encourage you. You want to serve God in his plan? Remember, we all together in prayer, in fellowship, in the move of the Spirit, the manifestation of his gifts, the manner, the doctrine, the life, the witnessing, the proclaiming, the giving, the communion, the fellowship, the teaching. It's supposed to be all. Are you listening? It's we all together. We all together. We all together. Everyone. That's God's plan for our church. It's God's plan for Christ's family. Yes. It's God's plan for Christ's family. You know, when I got to a place, I took some of you, I said, these people are all alike. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. That's what he's building. He's a family man, and he's building many families. You're part of God's family, and he's building you to be part of the family. Father, we thank you that we are coming to the realization of this important strategy of the Holy Spirit for much more. And much more, the fulfillment of your plan, how you will have it fulfilled. We thank you for a togetherness, hearts that are full of togetherness in every area, in Jesus' name. And we thank you in advance for what you are doing. Give you all the praise. In Jesus' name.